Hey, good. Well, good day, everybody. I don't know what time you're listening to the second ever Snowcross podcast. My name is Chris Hockey. Hi. That's me singing as well. I use my own songs as bumper music on this show because, you know, I'm my own boss.
Because why would you not?
That's Carly Applin.
Hey-o.
The face of Snowcross.
Yes, that's true. You are truly the face. No.
You
are the beauty of Snowcross.
That's not even
close to true.
The rest
of us are in your shadow.
If I am the beauty of Snowcross, then it's an ugly sport, and we both know that's not the case. Hi, Carly.
Hey, what's going on?
You know, thanks for coming in.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. This is awesome. To talk Snowcross, are you kidding me? This is perfect.
You know, we were thinking that nobody was doing a Snowcross podcast, as far as we knew, especially one that's directly associated with AMSOIL Championship Snowcross powered by Ram, and so we decided we'd do it this year.
This is brilliant.
Thank you. Levi was the first guest. You're the second guest. I hope you're not offended.
I'm slightly offended, actually.
Well, I missed Levi.
Though I understand Levi. It's Levi.
I missed him. I miss having him in the booth.
Yeah, he's great. I know. That is such a loss for us.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
But he's so busy. He has the Winterruption show and all of that stuff happening.
Well,
so
he told me that he legitimately needed to focus on being a team owner. Mm-hmm. And he said he felt like he was failing Kyle Poline.
Really?
He said those words
he
to me.
He said that?
Yeah, he said that, that Kyle had plateaued last year because he wasn't being given the kind of leadership he needed.
That's a leader, though.
Absolutely.
Somebody who will own it.
Yeah.
And say, I need to be there for my team. Wow. I'm very impressed.
And it was weird because, and we just jumped right into it.
Yeah.
But Kyle didn't have the best weekend in Fargo.
No. That shocked me.
Yeah.
Shocked me. He was in the LCQ.
Yeah.
Friday and Saturday. Yeah. He was in the LCQ.
And you just don't see that out of him. And it was weird because it seemed like the rest of the teams out there riding the Polaris sleds had a good weekend.
Yes. Zach Mason, his teammate, struggled as well throughout the weekend. Not on the podium at all, but was on the podium the weekend before when we were our race weekend before.
And was leading the points going into that weekend. So, yeah, it was an odd week. And Pro Light, by the way, you just never know.
Yes.
James Johnstead won Friday night in Fargo and didn't make the final.
Nowhere to be found. Isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
Martin Molin took the win on Saturday in round four.
My apologies, Snowcross fans. We had no idea what was going on in the booth.
And
I know
crazy.
You could tell because for those of you who don't know, and I'm sure most of you do, but there's a trajectory. That's not the right word, is it?
What
do
you call it? The transponder that they ride
with,
yes.
Yeah, they have transponders. And something went wrong with Martin's transponder. And so he wasn't being scored at all in the booth. And it was funny because Ray, the people back in the CBS Sports truck, Ray and his entire great crew kept telling us, Martin's leading. And we were looking at the screen that was saying Montana Jess was leading. Exactly. So we had no idea, but it ended up Martin Molin won. And it's so weird. You talked to him about it on the podium after the win. He's going back home.
He's going to Norway. Yes, he's going back. He'll race
in
Europe for the rest of the year. He did the same thing the season before. But it was. I was down in the midst of all the craziness. When I said, Martin is yelling at us saying, no, it was me who won. Montana just said, I think I took second. Mm-hmm. And so the riders kind of had it figured out. But even they said, it's so chaotic on this track because it's a small, short track.
Right.
Little unlike other ones we see besides Deadwood, South Dakota. They said they could hardly tell who was in what place. But they kind of had it figured out. And then obviously we worked through all of it, but got it figured out.
Yeah, the bottom line is they knew quicker than they told us, but they wanted to make sure they were right on the money. And I completely respect that. But again, apologies, Martin, and your entire team, because I was just going by what's on the screen. And what else do I know? And I got to listen to Ray from now on.
Hopefully Martin will have a chance to race here for a full season at some point. It'd be interesting to see how he does with a full season.
Yeah. Did you? I know a couple of years ago, Joe and those guys went to Europe or Russia or somewhere. Did you go with them for that?
I did not.
I didn't either. I'd love to go over there and see how it compares. I mean, do they run regular snowcross like they do over here? Is it snowcross they're doing, or is it other kinds of snowmobiling?
It is snowcross, but the tracks are much different, I've heard. I don't know what the European tracks are like, but I've heard that they're different.
Boy, I tell you, you got people like Martin Mullen, Elias Ishuel, or however you say his name, because I continue to say it differently every week.
I've asked it. I feel like even his team says it different. Mark Warner was like, well, this is how I say it. His wife said that's not how to say it.
I know. So. She's the one that told me that. I'd love to know because sometimes when they come over here, they just dominate.
They do.
They come over and you can tell it looks like either the tracks are different and easier for them in their skill set or they're racing great competition over there. You know, one way or another, it's always fun to see. But so that was Pro Light. Again, we could talk more about it. But Elias didn't get to race this weekend because of injuries that he suffered in Duluth.
He does. I think is it knee or ankle? Do you know which one it is?
I was told both. I think the final thing I heard was knee.
Okay. So knee injury with, I think, Elias. Elias.
Yeah, right. Elias. Right.
So he took the starts because if you take the starts in your heat races, at least You obviously won't qualify for the final, but you get points. And you want to rack up as many points as you can. So he was able to take the start. But yeah, with this injury, they want to take the time now because Canterbury is in January. So this gives him almost a month to heal up and come back. So if he raced this one, they said he might be able to, but you could cause more injury. You don't want to do that. Just take the time off now.
For sure. Yeah, and with ProLite being what it is, as we said, James Johnstead won on Friday night and didn't make the final on Saturday night. You just don't know what's going to happen. It could be anybody's ballgame by the time we get to the final race out in Lake Geneva. So I think it's the right move. You know, just like we were talking about Logan Christian in Duluth on night number two, he had the
concussion-like
symptoms he was having. It's good to be cautious. You
absolutely.
Know? It's a long career. And
It's early in the season. You have 50 to 60 races throughout the season. So just take the one off if you need to and don't take a whole – I mean, you don't want to take a whole season off. So
props again, Carly Applin, Chris Hockey here. Props to all of the ISOC crew, to all the people down at the raceway that we were at in Fargo this weekend for even having a race.
It was amazing what they did with that track.
Yeah, I don't know where they got the snow. Did they make that snow?
They made that snow. Yeah, they made the snow.
And it stayed all weekend long. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else outside of that racetrack was mud.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they came up with enough snow to make for very competitive racing. I know it wasn't the greatest conditions for the racers, but the bottom line is, everybody has to race on the same track, and they gave you a track that was very competitive, especially on Saturday night. I thought it was a fantastic track. It was action-packed. I love when they made the triples bigger on both sides of the racetrack on Saturday night, made for more action, and gave the fans a great show.
Yeah, they added that whoop section in the back, which was challenging, I think, but also doable and more fun for the fans to watch. And, you know, you said it. They all have to race on the same track. Mm. I was when I talked to the guys in the pits, the racers in the pits, they actually said the track was holding up great, and some of them like it more rough because the rougher the track gets, the more your athletic ability comes into play. And if that happens, some guys tend to drop off. Tim Tremblay is a big fan of a rough, long track. He was asking for more laps.
Yeah.
He wanted more laps because other people drop off.
So we get done with Fargo, and of course, the great controversy the entire weekend continues to be the inverted starts, the new rule in AMSOIL Pro Open. Personally, I'm a fan of it because I'm a fan of racing, period. I thought it was really interesting, though, because after the races on Saturday, in the pits, talking to riders, talking to fans, talking to people on other crews, had some interesting things to say about how Tucker ran in the heats compared to how he ran in the feature. Now, I don't have a position either way.
Right.
You know, and I know you don't either as reporters. We just report what we see on the racetrack. I know that the Tucker was struggling a bit in his heats on Saturday and then came out and was just dominant in the feature on Sunday. That's nothing, or on Saturday night, I should say. That's nothing new for Tucker. Sometimes he struggles and he got a good start. And then the two people, Trevor Layton with a terrible crash right in front of him on Saturday night in the final. And then Tucker was in third and ran away and hid. Did you hear the same things I was hearing in the pits, though?
I did. Racing is unpredictable, is the thing. So you never know. I mean, I think you can look at lap times and that could tell you something. But I think at the same time, you know, everybody's going to have a great race and some people are going to struggle in other ones. But I think everybody in the pits, I think for the most part, they like the rule.
Mm.
It makes it more competitive, I think, on the track. And people just have to step up.
Tucker said to you on the podium.
Yes.
I would never manipulate my heat races. I would never manipulate the system like that. I mean, he looked at you point blank and said
specifically
that.
I asked him, was there a strategy with the heat races just because he didn't qualify as well? And that's not something I asked that question because we don't see that out of Tucker.
Of course.
While racing is unpredictable, his racing isn't as unpredictable. If you look at all of his races, he is consistently one of the best, if not the best.
Right.
So I asked the question, what was your strategy with the heat races going into this final, qualifying on the line? You wanted a better pick. Did you want a better pick? And he said he would never cheat the system.
Right, right.
Said he goes into every race wanting to win, and that's what he'll do. So, I mean, that was his response. So you have to respect that. And
for sure. And furthermore, if he was, and manipulating the system sounds bad, but you get my point.
Of course,
if he was doing that.
It's strategy.
It's strategy. And there's nothing wrong with that. That would, in fact, you could look at it and say, well, that's the right thing to do. But the interesting thing is, to back up his point that he was not manipulating the system, he did win the feature going away. But he still, as we leave Fargo, tied in the points with Cody Cam because Cody did better in the
heat races
and still ran second in the feature.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people who are pointing fingers at Tucker and say, you're manipulating the system, you're doing this thing. If he is, he didn't do a very good job of it because he's still tied. He's not running away with the points. He did get the feature win, but he's still tied right now with Cody.
Absolutely. And so, we'll see, you know, it's one of those things where you have to see how it pans out the rest of the season and see what happens. But I mean, that was his response. Respect it.
Yeah.
And see how it goes from here.
No doubt. We'll talk a couple of more things before we end the podcast today about some other drivers that that you talked to in the pits that maybe need to be getting more attention from the fans that are maybe up and comers. But we leave now Fargo. We're four events in, and we go to Shakopee, Canterbury Park, the Daytona of our sport, because it's such a big track. It's so
huge
different. And the
track.
Fans, the crowds are getting bigger everywhere we go, which mm-hmm. is fun to see. But the crowd at Canterbury is the biggest, bar none. Do you prefer a place like Deadwood, a place like Fargo, or a big track like Canterbury as a fan?
As a fan of racing, I like the smaller tracks.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, the tracks at Deadwood, the track at Fargo, there's so much action. And I think that, you know, the first turn, you always see action there. But that's as a fan, as a racer, I can understand the longer track and having a little bit more space to work and see your passes. I mean, the visibility on the track in Fargo and the track in Deadwood is so low. I mean, they can't see out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like Deadwood and I like Fargo, the smaller, tight tracks, but, you know, the long tracks are fun too.
Well, and the good thing about our sport is, and our you know, the series is we visit every type of track.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to compare to what we see when we go to Lake Geneva and they're going up the side of that mountain. There's nothing compared to what we see in Deadwood where they're literally knocking elbows. And then we go to Canterbury Park coming up here in the first weekend in January, and they're jumping so far and so high and going so fast, it's hard to believe. Okay, so take me inside the pits because you're back there all the time.
Yep.
You're interviewing racers. You're down on the side of the track. You're at the starting line. We're throwing it down to Carly. She's always right near the action right there. Talk to me about some drivers that we don't know much about. First of all, a kid that I'm starting to pay attention to more and more, not only because he's running so well, because he's such a good kid, and I like the team anyway, Lincoln Lemieux.
Oh, I know. Isn't he a great guy?
He's great.
He's on that AMSOIL, the U.S. Air Force team.
Yeah.
Steve Shearing is the team owner. What was interesting is that team, okay, so Lincoln is riding with Tim Tremblay, who mm-hmm. took first on Friday, who's doing really well this season. And Tim is working with Blair Morgan, legendary Blair Morgan.
The Tucker Hibbert. Of the last generation.
Yes. Unfortunately had an incident.
Sure.
Now in a wheelchair. I met him for the first time this weekend. Fantastic guy. He's now back at the track mentoring that team. I know he's working very closely with Tim, and Tim in turn is working very closely with Lincoln. So whatever Blair's doing is working for that team and seems to be really helping them out. So fun to see Blair Morgan back at the track, and so fun to see that what he's doing with the team is clearly working. I know that Steve Shearing, Lincoln, and I don't know how much Lincoln is getting out of this, but I know that Tim Tremblay said he struggles with finding lines. He struggles with reading the track. He's an incredible athlete and can ride that machine, but he struggles with reading the track. Blair Morgan, on the other hand, can read any track.
Right.
So he's helping him read lines, find lines. So, I mean, that's a really fun thing for that team this year. Such an important thing for that team to be working with Blair Morgan. And again, it's working.
Yeah, it definitely is. I love to see that. Let's go to Pro Light for a second. A kid named Shane Sewell. And now, admittedly, I'm biased a little bit because I'm from Indiana.
Yeah.
I grew up in a town that literally is on the border of Ohio and Indiana, and I grew up motocrossing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Shane Sewell is a renowned motorcyclist, motocrosser,
mm-hmm.
and he's making the move over to snowcross. Now, I remember his name from last year, again, because I'm such a motocross fan. When I heard that, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Let me check him out a little bit. Out of nowhere, on Friday night in Fargo, he comes out, even with the bad knee that he developed in Duluth, and he runs second, and then he ran really well again on Saturday night
mm-hmm.
in Fargo. This kid, talk about somebody who's making jumps, leaps, and bounds for a team out of Bowerly Racing.
The Bowerly team, yeah.
That you love to see it for a small team like that.
I spent a lot of time in that trailer talking to them on Saturday. Such a humble kid.
Mm.
Such a sweet kid. I call him a kid. He's got to be in his mid-20s, but such a sweet guy. He said to me, okay, so the first time he was ever on a race sled, not a trail sled, but a race sled, was 2014. It's 2015.
That's unbelievable.
Right now, and he's out there dominating.
Yeah.
He said he feels so comfortable on a snowmobile, and that Steve Shearing, to go back to Steve Shearing, invited him to his track after Lake Geneva in 2014 and said, why don't you just try riding? Get on the sled and see how you feel. He said he felt right at home when he got on the sled. Didn't want to turn back. And he said that he does moto. He's always raced motocross, but he said he used to watch these snowmobile racers. And he said he's a fan of all the guys out there. He said he's a fan of the guys in Pro Light, the guys he races against. He said I was a fan of for so long. So fun to see him out there. Like I said, he feels like he's right at home on the snowmobile and he's showing it out there. He's aggressive, but I think very smart. And the motocross background has got to help.
I can't imagine going from motocross to snowmobiles, though. Mm-hmm.
They say it's I've heard from a lot of the racers that it's harder to go from motocross to snowcross.
I would think
so. And
then
it's easier to go snowcross to motocross. I've never done it. I don't know, but that's what the riders say.
I would guess so, because you're going from a motorcycle that weighs around, you know, I'm just throwing numbers, like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
To a snowmobile that weighs considerably more than that and is much bulkier and probably in some ways harder to control, especially when you get in the kind of air these guys are getting. It's fascinating stuff. But again, we'll keep an eye on Shane Sewell, and it's fun to watch him continue to rise in the ranks. One thing before we get out of here, FXR Sport Class.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one of those classes. You just never know what's going
to
happen.
This is one where, unfortunately, I rarely get to watch because I'm in the pits when they're out there on the track a lot of times. And so I don't have as much experience with them, but it's they're such a competitive class, and they just want to work their way up. That's the class where they want to get into those pro classes.
That's the thing I want to mention to everybody out there that's listening to the podcast. And again, Carly Applin, Chris Hockey, thanks for tuning in. If you aren't paying attention when you're watching the broadcast, wherever you're watching it from, watch the sport class. We had four heats of FXR sport class last week. It was not a guarantee you were going to make the last chance qualifier.
Right. So
you had to
riders.
Work to get into the LCQ, and then you work out of the LCQ to get in the final. It legitimately, people like Jacob Urich, Leo Patton, know there's so many names out there that we're going to know in this sport in the years to come. They're going to make their way to Pro Light and then make their way, hopefully, to AMSOIL Pro Open as well. A great, great class to watch. One last name I want to talk to you about, and then we'll get out of here. Cody Kam.
Oh.
Right now, tied for the lead in points.
Mm-hmm.
Actually was leading the points after we left Fargo on Friday night.
He was wearing that red plate.
Talk to me about this guy off the track, because he's so quiet whenever he's got a microphone in front of his face. When he doesn't, talk about him.
He's so funny. I think that you don't get to see his fun personality sometimes because he's formal in his interviews and he isn't as talkative, but he's such a fun, sweet guy. I mean, he's also really humble. He's got a little bit of that cocky attitude, which he's got, you know, you have to have, I think, as a racer, but he's also very humble, just loves what he does. He's a kid that just loves to race, and he likes to go fast. And the word he always uses is just fun. He always says to me, "Oh, it's just fun." I'm like, tell me, you know, I wanted, like, walk me through that race. Tell me what happened out there. And he's like, "Oh, it was fun."
Yeah.
I'm like, he just likes to go fast, and he likes to, you know, get big air, and he just enjoys racing. Mm. And so I still don't get a ton of words off camera from him.
I know.
And I always, as people say, talk to him about mudding, about, you know, his truck, and if you want him to open up.
Is that right?
I try that, and he's like, "Carly, it's just fun." Cody.
There you go.
Okay. You got to get him on the show. You got to get him on the show sometime. Get him to open up.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Yeah. I don't know if I'll get him to open up, but we are going to eventually start having the actual racers on the podcast as well as we get going. But wanted to give them a few more races in the season so they have more to talk about.
For sure.
And again, you know, like you say, they don't always have a lot to say.
No. Bring Cody in with the team owner, Nate Henches.
Nate's the
Henches
best.
Racing. He's the greatest. And he kind of fills in the blanks for Cody.
It's such a great sport.
It's such
what a
wonderful
great
sport.
Family
it's
such, sport.
It is a family sport.
People, you know, they're knocking elbows and they're knocking heads and they're yelling at each other and this, that, and the other. But when it comes down to it, we all travel around together.
And you
know.
See the team owners in each, when I'm walking through the trailers, you see the team owners in each other's trailers talking. And so I think that that's so special about the sport because it is. It's a big family out there.
You're special too.
Thank you so much. I feel special.
Do you have any charity events, anything coming up you want to talk to people about before we get out of here?
Red Dress is coming up, not until February, but it's always great to get on the radar, especially with the holidays in between. Yeah. It's nice to get on people's calendars. So February 13th, that's a Saturday, we do something called Minnesota's Red Dress Collection. It's for women's heart health, the number one killer of women, heart disease. And we pair local designers with prominent people in the community, and they create custom looks for these people to wear on the runway, big fashion show. We do cocktail hours, pop-up shops. It's a fun, you know, black tie event. And so invite everybody. That reddressmn.com is the website. You can get tickets, see who's walking in the show, the designers involved, and we've got you involved this year.
I don't know how I'm going to look in a dress, but I'm looking forward to it very much.
We will make sure you're in something other than a dress. We've got Jason doing it too, my fiance.
Great.
Yeah, so you guys will have a lot of fun on the runway.
Reddressmn.com.
Find all the info. Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Great job as always, and I love watching you on the TV, and you do a great job.
Oh, you're the best.
Appreciate it very much. Thanks for tuning in to the second ever podcast of Snowcross, the Snowcross Podcast. Carly Applin, Chris Hockey, we'll get this up, and then, of course, we'll be back the weekend after Shakopee. That would be January 8th and 9th. And we'll continue to do this throughout the season. I believe if I don't have Mikey Schroeder on next time, he's probably going to want to beat me up. So
oh,
I believe
you've
he
got
will,
to.
I know. So that's January 8th and 9th. Then we go to Deadwood, January 22nd, 23rd, my favorite stop on the tour. Salamanca, New York, February 5th and 6th. Mount Pleasant, Michigan, February 26th and 27th. We go to another casino in Chicago.
Yeah, there's casinos. That's why you like them. Yeah.
March 4th and 5th. My mom and dad are coming to that. Looking forward to that.
Oh,
and
really?
Then we wrap it all up. It'll be here before you know it. March 18th through 20th, the Nielsen's Snowcross Grand Finale, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Snowcross.com, right?
Snowcross.com.
This is where you can find all the info.
All the info's right there. And check out chrishockey.com, by the way, as well, if you'd like to come see my band. If you're listening to this before December 19th, Saturday, December 19th, I'm at the Medina Ballroom with the Gear Daddies. Come see us, won't you, please? And if you're in St. Cloud, come see us at the Pioneer Place on January 1st,
the
first day of the year.
I'm going to that. My dad's going to come. He's your biggest fan. We're all going to be there.
Please do. You can come on down. That'd be great. It's a great little theater. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Let's go racing. Check out snowcross.com. Thanks for tuning in to the second annual Snowcross podcast. Bye-bye. Let's get